Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you're continuing to enjoy this season of Lent, this penitential season. Many times people look at Lent as a kind of downer, but it's actually a time of extraordinary grace and opportunity because Lent's really about conversion, and conversion's about surrendering our lives more fully to Jesus, which is the best thing we could ever do, which means opening our lives to his love, to the realization, the knowledge, or as Paul would say, you know, he prayed for us and said, he prays for that we would receive a revelation of really the greatness of what we receive, the greatness of the calling we've been given, the greatness of the inheritance that we possess in Jesus, and to know the power that's at work within us. So what Lent's really about is to help us penetrate that treasure more fully so we can grasp what we've received, we can see indeed who we are and what Jesus has accomplished for us, and to walk in that. And that's all good. And so the central focus of it, again, is conversion, a deeper radical surrender to the person of Christ. And so what I want to do this week is begin to, at least, make our way through the chapters, which I've touched on before, John's Gospel, the beautiful Last Supper discourse recorded there, beginning really in chapter 14 up through John 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And I want to begin to walk through it this week, and maybe it'll pour into next week. And the reason for it is this. If you've been tuned into the program at all, you know that I've got a great conviction that the hand of the Lord himself, is at work in a very profound way in this very challenging time that we here in the country, but also around the world, are passing through. This whole COVID period and the shaking of nations, a lot of purification happening in the church, a lot of stuff being exposed. The Lord wants, I believe, begun a redemptive discipline in the life of the church. He wants to purify his bride. He wants her to be alive and radiant. So that we can communicate. He wants the salt to be salt. He wants the light to be bright. He wants the church to be able to communicate the missionary zeal that's in the heart of the Lord, but the compassion and the mercy that's present. And there's lots of trouble, lots of compromise, lots of worldliness in the church. And one of the things the Lord is doing is seeking to purify and break some of the spiritual strongholds that is holding dimensions of the church, even on the leadership level in the church. So that's a good thing, because the writer of Hebrews tells us God disciplines those whom he loves. As a father disciplines a child, God disciplines those whom he loves because he's got a goal in mind, which is the peaceful fruit of righteousness, is what it describes there. He wants us to be able to walk, to experience the fruit of being drawn closer to God, of being purified of things in us that hinder the love of God at work in us, and to surrender more to righteousness, that is to be rightly related to God, to have our loves rightly ordered. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. God really wants to help us with this. We're not deists. He's not off somewhere simply watching. He didn't wind the clock up and said, all right, go. And he's engaging. He's with us. He's given us the Holy Spirit, which is why one of the reasons why I want to walk through John's Last Supper discourse, because you can see by the words of Jesus, we touch the mind and the heart of Jesus so clearly here as he describes what's unfolding in him, in the Father's plan, in the apostles, and all those who come to believe in what the apostles are communicating and teaching, preaching. And that means you, and that means me. So it's not just reflecting on something that happened 2,000 years ago, and hey, there's some nuggets here we can take. This is a living word. As again, Hebrews says, you know, God's word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It has a capacity to penetrate, you know, bone and marrow is the image, but it examines the intentions of the heart. The Lord is able to expose our heart, not to shame us, but he exposes and opens our heart in relationship to his own, because he wants us to take on the trust and the confidence and the hope and the life and the love that's in him so that we can walk in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. So I'm going to start with John 14 today, and we'll just see how far we get. Beginning the first verse, the setting is this. Jesus is there, Last Supper. He's with the apostles and Mary and all those who gathered for that Last Supper together. And the beloved disciple, the one who at this Last Supper leans on Jesus, and there's a deep intimacy, deep friendship there. And John is recording what he remembers under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Jesus gave to the disciples and all who were with them that day, that night. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Here's an exhortation that emerges a number of times through this section and other places in the gospel. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Later on, he'll say, in this world, you'll have tribulations, but I want you to be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. So this is one of the places where faith and trust in Christ gets exercised and can have, if it's exercised in a genuine surrender and trust, it has tremendous power in our lives and how we're able to live through times of difficulty and trouble. So Jesus is saying, in this world, you'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer. So it's a genuine expectation. It can seem like Jesus is not quite in touch with reality because when circumstances are difficult, it's difficult. He's not denying the reality of the difficulty. He's just saying it. These tribulations can have an exaggerated power over our lives. If we get caught in the storm of the tribulation and we're walking through it without hope. And hope is the confident expectation that what we see in Jesus, what he's accomplished, what he's promised to us is real. And so he's saying to us, look, I've overcome this stuff. I've lived through it. And they're going to see him now over the next few days as he walks through the passion. He's going to confront the storm full on, a major storm, right? And he's going to lay down his life entrusting everything to God. And God's going to vindicate Jesus by raising him from the dead. And in the person of Jesus, beginning the new creation, the uniting of heaven and earth, and the releasing the power of God and the fire of God's love in the resurrection. And Jesus takes humanity into glory, never again to be ultimately disrupted. And so we're now united to him. So Jesus is saying, look, I've swallowed this up. I've conquered it. I've defeated it. I've taken on the most significant hit possible. And now as we look back at it, we can see the reality of what Jesus has accomplished and why he was telling the apostles, don't worry. He knows that they're going to be persecuted because he'll talk about it. He knows they're going to be rejected. He knows they're going to experience lots of difficulties. So he's not burying his head in the sand or pretending nothing's going to happen. But he's saying these things are not ultimate. They're temporary because of what I've done for you. So take heart. Don't let the circumstances shake you into unbelief. Don't let the circumstances cause you to back up, give in, surrender, to go hide. Stand strong. The Lord will say again and again in his own words, in different words, he'll say, stand strong and trust. So right at the beginning, he wants to communicate that. He said, what gives you strength is in the face of trouble. He said, believe. Believe in God. The church teaches so clearly, helps us remember and understand what we see throughout the New Testament. What does believing mean? Well, it believes, first of all, it's actually believing the words of Jesus and the deeds of Jesus and the plan of God. Believing his word, believing the word as it comes to us through the church. So we accept it as true. We don't dissect it in a way where we cut out some of it and just don't pay attention to it because it doesn't jive with what we might think in the moment. We don't edit God's word. We receive God's word. So we believe the truth, and the truth that's been guarded and passed on through the magisterium of the church, present in the scripture and the catechism, the lives of the saints. So we believe it. We believe the words of Jesus. Number one, and number two, we entrust ourselves to it. So it's not just to believe in our mind. There's those passages in the New Testament where it said, even the devil believes. The devil doesn't doubt what Jesus said about himself. It's true. He's just not going to surrender his life to it. He's going to battle it. And he's foolish and prideful enough to think he can overcome it. So belief, faith, has the dimension of the objectivity of what is spoken, what's communicated, the faith as we receive it, and the radical abandonment of our lives in trust to God. That's a huge piece. If we don't do the second, like following the footsteps of Abraham, our father in faith, and everybody, the apostles, who went all in with Jesus and leaned on Jesus in such a way that if he wasn't there and the words he gave, if they weren't there, we'd fall flat on our face. Really entrusting, believing, stepping into that truth and taking it on and living in it. If we don't do that with the help of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' words just remain a dead letter. It doesn't produce anything ultimately. And so that's what he's saying. So believe in me, believe in God, and believe also in me, he said. And then he wants to reassure him. He said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? So one of the themes that's going to weave its way through this night together that they're having is the realization that Jesus is helping the brothers and those present to come to understand things are about to change very dramatically. He's going to leave them. They don't fully understand what that means yet, but he's helping them. He's starting to open up the full plan of God the Father, and he wants them to say, look, I'm not leaving you forever. I'm actually going, I have a destination, and the destination and my going is a really good thing because I'm going to prepare a place for you where you will be with me for all eternity and sharing in my glory. And he said, when I go, I will prepare a place for you, and then I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. It's beautiful. Again, Jesus is speaking specifically to the apostles in that moment, but he'll also say later that these words are also for all those who come to believe in what the apostles are communicating on behalf of the Lord, what they're faithfully transmitting from Jesus. And you can see the heart. Remember, Jesus is a man. He's the God-man. And he is that today, at this moment, totally glorified. He still has a human heart. He has a glorified human heart. He's a glorified being, but he's got human emotions and feelings and love, and he loves these people. He loves you. He loves me. He'll say it again and again in these chapters. And what's his desire? His desire is to fulfill the will of the Father, and ultimately to fulfill the will of the Father means he's going to do whatever's needed to make it possible for you to be with him and with the Father forever. So that's what he's communicating. This is a deep desire that he has. Verse 4 goes on to say, and you know the way where I am going. St. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus' beautiful line, so important and so important for us to lay hold of deeply in the Spirit. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I'm going to say it again. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus is the way. He's not a way. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the way to salvation. Jesus is the way to eternal life in glory. And Jesus is the truth. He's not a truth. He's not one of a lineup of gurus and superheroes that all sort of communicate one dimension or another. Jesus is the revelation of the fundamental truth about reality, who God is, where we've come from, why we're here, what is the situation we're living in. He reveals to us the truth, the unshakable truth. And so he's the standard. Christ is the standard of the truth about humanity. And his words are true and his words are life. So I'm the way and I'm the truth and I'm the life. And the whole word life is big in John's gospel. John will reveal to us, Jesus is the source of eternal life for the human race. There's a life in him. The power of the divine life is in him, united to human flesh, and it overcomes the power of death, which dominates the life, ultimately, of every human being who falls. Everybody, nobody escapes it, and nobody escapes its reach. Jesus is bigger than it. He swallowed up death in victory, and there's a life in him that's indestructible, and eternal life is participating and sharing in that life. Friends, I want to continue to take this up. It's just amazing stuff. I hope you join me again tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.